morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to see all of you this morning. I have a couple of announcements to share with you. So unfortunately, Paul and Sue are not able to be here with us this morning as we ordain and install our new officers, but we are going to try to ordain and install them virtually. So when we get to the part of the service where we are going to ordain and install our new officers, we'll invite Kathy to come forward, and we have a Zoom link. So if all works, I don't know if it will, but if all works, you should be able to see them on the screen, and they should be able to see me, and we're going to try to ordain and install them that way. If the technology doesn't work, it doesn't work. We will have tried our best, but just wanted to let you know that that is happening a little bit later in the service. Couple of other announcements. So Lynn Garvey is in the process of putting together the February Valley, and I believe if you would like to put an announcement in that Valley, she needs that by Monday. So if you could get those announcements to her quickly, I'm sure she would appreciate it. Not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, February 6th, is Scout Sunday, so we will be doing that in worship. February 6th is also Communion Sunday, because it's the first Sunday of the month, so please mark your calendar for that. Finally, can't believe I'm saying this, but Lent actually starts 3 weeks from Wednesday. Can't believe it. And to kick off Lent, we typically meet in the sanctuary for an Ash Wednesday service. But because Lent is starting earlier and we could be dealing with very bad weather at that point in February, we are going to move the Ash Wednesday service to Zoom. I am going to sit down this week and plan the service, and I will send out more information and a Zoom link for it the closer we get to the 16th. I think those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? Heather.
Not announcements, but what is Scout Sunday?
I'm going to come down because I can't hear you. It's the 7th. I'm sorry. You are correct. Scout Sunday is the 7th, not the 6th. I was off by day. But yes, it will be February 7th. All right, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. Just FYI, because we missed the boat at this on Mount Nebo, it starts with all of us talking together, not me. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Friends, at this time I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me?
Will you go?
Please join with me in our prayer of confession. Almighty God, you love us, but we have not loved you. You call, but we have not listened. We walk away from neighbors in need, wrapped in our own concerns. We condone evil, prejudice, warfare, and greed. God of grace, help us admit our sin, so that as you come to us in mercy, we may repent, turn to you, and receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that we are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Join with me now as we profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, give one another a wave. Good morning. Good morning.
prayer request this morning from Lynn Love for her daughter Cassidy Carson. Cassidy had her second COVID shot yesterday, and she is having some flu-like symptoms. Prayers that she is feeling better soon and has some comfort. Not that I'm an expert, but that's normal, so don't be worried. We still hope she's comfortable. Also, prayers for Clara Kaler and Kathy Enrietto, who lost a cousin, Betty Shedd, this week due to the COVID virus. So keep her family and their families in your prayers. And praise request from Kathy Segi for her mother, Cora. She will be celebrating her 80th birthday on the 27th. And Kathy says, "Thank you for being my mom, my angel, and my saving grace. My kids and I would be lost without you, your love, and your generosity and guidance. I love you."
Let us pray. God of new visions, we pray for people highly placed in power, that they may focus their eyes on you. And we pray for the lowly victims of power, that they may also focus their eyes on you. We pray for those who bless with their lips, but curse with their mouths, including ourselves. We pray for those who are ill and those facing the end of life. We especially pray for Cassidy following her COVID vaccine. We pray for those in need or those facing hardships, especially Clara and Kathy following the loss of their cousin. Give them the gift of prayer that they may pour their hearts out to you. We praise you with thanksgiving for our answered prayers and moments of joy you have blessed us with, especially Cora's 80th birthday. And we also praise you for those answering the call to serve in ordered ministry here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian, Paul, Sue, and Kathy. At this time, we lift up all of those who are in need of prayer in silence. We pray for the church and its leaders that we may hear and respond to your call to be fishers of people. Rock of our salvation, through Christ and your Holy Spirit, bring us into the new world you are shaping. All of these things we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering. give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated.
The scripture for today is John chapter 1, verses 14 through 20.
It's Mark.
Oh. Okay, it's Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay.
It's the same scripture reading. It's just Mark, not okay. John.
Sorry. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, as we journey together through these few weeks leading up to Lent, we focus our attention on what it means to follow Jesus in our everyday lives. Today, we have the call story of Simon and his brother, Andrew. A call story is the story of how men and women came to follow Jesus. Their stories teach us that following Jesus is both a gift and a demand. Our scripture reading for this morning begins with Jesus's first sermon. As far as sermons go, it's a pretty straightforward one. Jesus tells the crowd gathered in Galilee to repent and believe the good news, because the kingdom of God has come near. What Jesus is saying here is that a new way of living is coming. One where God is going to restore creation to its intended glory. Everyone who is suffering now will find relief. Everyone who is abusing others now will be brought low. If you want to be a part of this kingdom, says Jesus, then you need to repent of your old ways of living. You can do this by worshiping God for who God is and for what God has done. But you can also repent by responding to my call in your daily lives. Jesus then provides the crowd with an illustration of what this might look like. As he walks along the Sea of Galilee, he invites Simon and his brother Andrew to come and follow him. Simon and Andrew were fishermen, about to start their day's labor. Upon hearing Jesus' call, Simon and Andrew immediately drop their nets and follow Jesus into the unknown. Simon and Andrew are going to become some of Jesus' first disciples, who then dedicate their lives to inviting others into this life of discipleship. What I've always appreciated about Simon and Andrew's call story is how uncomplicated it is. Simon and Andrew don't ask Jesus a ton of questions. They don't ask to see Jesus' five-year plan. They don't even check in with their families to ask them, "Hey, is now a good time for me to take an unexpected break from my life and my responsibilities?" They just drop their nets and follow him. I think for a lot of us who grew up in the church, our call stories feel similarly uncomplicated. I know for me, I come from a family where somebody in my family always had a set of keys to the church. My mother is a deacon at her church. My grandfather was the church treasurer of St. Michael's Orthodox Church from the mid-1960s until his death in 2016. As a kid, some of my earliest memories are roaming the halls of my church unsupervised because there was this beautiful hour after school in between when the bus would drop me off and between when kids' club would start. For me, following Jesus, becoming a Christian, came as naturally to me as when I put a chair in my parking space after I have dug it out on the street. Some of you know that I serve on a committee of our presbytery. This committee is called the Commission on Preparation for Ministry. And the goal of this committee is to help men and women figure out if God is calling them to serve as a minister of word and sacrament. One of the first things I do when I get a new student under my care is I ask them to tell me how they came to follow Jesus. Listening to their stories, I'm learning that not everyone had an uncomplicated call story. In fact, many people have very complicated call stories. One of the students that I'm working with left a 25-year career as the supervisor of the technical department at PNC Bank. When I asked her how she came to the decision to quit her job and go to seminary, she said, "Well, God just kept bugging me until I finally gave in." She's now pastoring two churches in upstate New York. Another student I'm working with was a corporate lawyer for 30 years when her husband died unexpectedly. Her daughter set her up with one of those online dating profiles, and that's where she met her current husband. The only problem is her current husband lives here in Pittsburgh, and she is originally from Georgia. So after they married, she moved up here. Her husband encouraged her to join his church so that she could meet other people in the area. And the next thing she knew, she found herself in seminary considering a call to chaplaincy ministry. So she's interested in working with people that are living in nursing homes or in the hospital. My favorite students, not that I play favorites with my students, but if I'm being honest, I have a favorite student. This student took, well, whoops. This particular student, sorry, Kristen, took 10 years to get through seminary. And I fully believe he only graduated from seminary because his wife got pregnant with twins, and that motivated him to finish. But despite having twin boys who I don't think slept for the first year of their life, this student eventually graduated and is now pastoring a church in Washington, PA. Friends, the point I'm trying to make here is that God's call can be complicated or it can be uncomplicated. But irregardless, I think all calls have two things in common. God's call is always both a gift and a demand. It's a gift because we didn't deserve it and we haven't done anything to earn it. Now, I believe that God calls everyone to serve him in a way that best suits their unique gifts and talents. And oftentimes, how God invites us to serve him is better than anything we could have dreamed of or imagined. That God would continue to call ordinary men and women to do extraordinary things with their one wild and precious life never ceases to amaze me. But But friends, God's call is also a demand. And the demand is a call to action. Once we've figured out what God is calling us to do, we are to respond in faith. For some of us, this is going to mean dropping our nets and following God into the unknown. For some of us, this is going to mean leaving family, home, and career in pursuit of God's vision. But for others of us, it is going to mean being faithful to the mundane tasks that benefit the common good. Things like raising children, or caregiving, or working at a job that maybe you don't love, but it allows you to provide for your family. Friends, my hope and my prayer for us as we enter this new year and this new phase of the coronavirus pandemic is that we would prayerfully discern what God is asking each one of us to do, to be open to the new things God may be calling us to be willing to risk big things for God, and to take one tiny step in the direction of God's vision. I know that this last year has asked a lot of us, but I think the blessing of this last year is that we all learned we are capable of rising to the challenges laid out before us. We are capable of great sacrifice for the sake of our neighbors. We are capable of finding meaning and even perhaps joy as our world is being turned upside down. But most importantly, I hope that this last year has taught us that we are a people of hope. And the season of ordinary time is teaching us how we can bear witness to this hope in our everyday lives. Friends, we are capable of doing these things because a little baby born in Bethlehem, who grew up to forever alter the course of human history, walks alongside us. The gift of God made flesh is a gift worth sharing with those who haven't received it yet. Whether our call stories are complicated or uncomplicated, I have faith that we will meet the demands of God's call so that we might share the gift of Jesus with a world in need of good news. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, we are going to ordain and install our new officers. So if you could give us a moment to get situated, I would appreciate it. So Kathy, if you want to come stand in the middle, we're going to turn that around so it faces us. So while Kristen is getting that set up, I know typically when we ordain and install new officers, we lay hands on them. I would just ask this year that you let Arlie and I do that, if you're comfortable. We will lay hands on Kathy on behalf of the congregation. And if you want from your seat to put a hand out, I think that would be wonderful. Yay, we have people.
Look, people! We can see people. Okay. I'm sorry you can't see the congregation right now. You're going to be stuck looking at me and up here, but we will turn you around at the end so you can see everybody.
Yay! All right. Okay. We can see some people. Okay. Do we have Paul? Did we lose Paul? Yep, we have Paul. Great. All right. Let us begin with our service of ordination and installation, but we are only installing people today. We are called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. This is our common calling, to be disciples and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the church, some are called to particular service as deacons, as elders, and as ministers of word and sacrament. Ordination is Christ's gift to the church, assuring that his ministry continues among us, providing for ministries of caring and compassion in the world, ordering the governance of the church, and preaching the word and administering the sacraments.
Representing the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, the session of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church installs to active service those who have been previously ordained: Paul McComb, Sue Galley, and Kathy Enrietto.
All right, Paul, Sue, and Kathy, I have some questions for you. Don't worry, after I ask the question, I will prompt you in how to answer it. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith, as expressed in the confessions of our church, as authentic and reliable exposition of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? If so, please say, I do, and I will.
I do, and I will.
Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
I will. I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of word and spirit? So please say, I will.
I will.
I will.
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? So please say, I will.
I will.
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? So please say, I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? So please say, I will.
I will.
All right, now comes the part where I ask separate questions depending on how you are serving. So I will start with you, Paul. Paul, will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus? So please say, I will.
I will.
Thank you. And the next question is for Sue and for Kathy. Will you be a faithful deacon, watching over the people, caring for the sick, the downtrodden, and the low in spirit? Will you serve faithfully on the committees of the deacon and, to the best of your knowledge, care for her people? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
Great.
And do we, the members of the church, accept Paul as an elder and Sue and Kathy as deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do. All right, I am going to pray and we're going to lay hands. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your servants, whom you called through baptism as your own and marked as your own. Grant them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Give them a spirit of truthfulness that they may show the compassion of Christ in the actions of daily living and rightly govern your people. Give them the gifts of your spirit in building up the church to strengthen the common life of your people and lead with compassion and vision. In the walk of faith and for the work of ministry, give to your servants gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility, humor and courage, and an abiding sense of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Paul, Sue, and Kathy, you are now elders and deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. Amen. We can clap. Yay! Yay! Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for joining us. We are going to exit out of the Zoom meeting for our closing hymn, but you have been installed and you will be getting emails from me regularly. Congratulations! Yay, we got a piece of technology to work. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Let me say a word of blessing as we prepare to go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.